Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Tonight, I want to share with you some things that I learned as a young believer, some keys to having good success. And so that's what we're going to call this message tonight, Keys to Good Success. And we're going to start in the book of Joshua, and we're going to look at some other things tonight. And I just want to share with you some of the things that the Lord taught me just as a young believer. And, you know, I've known him all these years and put it to practice all these years. Haven't been perfect at it, but, you know, hopefully we are growing and getting better. Now, Joshua chapter 1, let's go to verse 8. Now, here's the background behind this. Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They've come this far under the leadership of Moses, and now Moses is he's died, he's gone on, and the baton's been turned over to Joshua. And so Joshua chapter 1, God gives Joshua instructions on how to be successful at what he is called to do. And so it says in Joshua chapter 1, you got a Bible, go there, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein," notice this, "day and night." So, you know, I mean, God's not real demanding, is he? Just day and night. That's pretty much all the time, right? So, you know, you say, well, Pastor, you're kind of tough sometimes. Well, I'm not as tough as God. I don't have the standards of God's God. I mean, I want to have his standards. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean, he's tougher than I am. He said day and night. In other words, keep it on your mind, man. I mean, everything you do in life. You know, when it talks about meditate, I know we're not always just sitting around 24 hours a day, you know, meditating on a scripture. Understand, we go to bed, we eat tacos, we do different things. But I think one of the things is that the Word of God should so be alive inside of you that everything you do in life, you measure it by the Word. Your first thought, if you're getting ready to do something, is what does the Word say? In other words, it's guiding you, it's breathing, it's talking to you. You know, the Word can be talking to you just because you build it inside of your consciousness, and you don't even realize it, but the Word's talking to you, it's leading you, it's guiding you. This is what Proverbs says. If you put the Word in you, it'll speak to you. It'll speak to you even while you're asleep at times. And so he told Joshua, meditate day and night. Now notice the middle of the verse, "that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So I want you to notice what God told Joshua. He said, if you're going to make it, son, you can't be shallow in the Word. You have to be deep in the Word. It's got to be your life. It's not just an addition to your life. It is your life. And as a pastor, no amount of counseling I can possibly ever do can ever substitute for you being deep in the Word, for you getting your roots in the Word of God. Counseling won't help you if you don't get yourself in the Word. And so he told Joshua, he said, don't be shallow. In other words, that's what he's saying. Don't be shallow in the Word. He said, talk it. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate it. And then he said that you may observe to do. So he wants us to talk the Word, meditate the Word, and be doers of the Word. You know, it's not just enough just to talk the Word. And it's not just enough to meditate the Word. We got to do what we see out of the Word of God. That is where the rubber meets the road and where the blessing comes in. But now, he said, for if you do this, then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Now, I want you to notice, God didn't say to Joshua, I'm going to make your way prosperous. Now, ultimately, we know God wants us to prosper, and he has made the path available. He has cleared the way. Jesus is the forerunner that goes before. So he's cleared the way for our success, but it's up to us if we're going to walk in that path that he's cleared. And he said, you'll make your way prosperous. You will do it, not God. So and people are waiting around. I wonder why God's not causing me to be successful. Well, here's the truth about that. He already has. He already has through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, he's given you everything you need, everything you could possibly ever want or need is supplied in Jesus Christ. In him, the Bible says, I think it's in Colossians, dwells all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Christ. Every blessing, every benefit, everything we could possibly need for life is right there in Christ. But it's up to you and I if we're going to walk in that. And he told Joshua, meditate the word day and night. Meditate the word, talk the word, do the word, and you're going to make your way prosperous. Now, and listen to this, because I want to emphasize something here, and I really believe this is important, okay? So listen up. And then you shall have good success. Say that, good success. Is there any other kind of success? Well, truthfully, there is. There's good success, there's bad success. How could there be bad success? Well, good success, all right, is this. Good success is prospering in something that's the will of God for your life. That's good success. What is good success? You know, we think about successful people. We think about successful churches. You know, we have our natural way of thinking about it. You know, if somebody's a good athlete, somebody has a lot of money, somebody has a mega church, well, they're successful. You know, that doesn't mean they're successful. Doesn't mean they're successful at all. A good success is that you are prospering in the will of God for your life. I don't care if you got, you know, if you got a church of 12,000 people. If it's not God's will for you to pastor, you're not a success. You're a failure. Amen. I'll say it again. You're not a success. You're a failure. I don't care how much money you make. If you can make $12,000 a minute, doesn't matter. If you're out of the will of God for your life, you're not prospering. Now, you know, in the natural, people say you're prospering, but listen. Good success is when you are prospering in the will of God for your life. Well, bad success would be the opposite, when you're prospering in something that's not the will of God for your life. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of people, like actors and so forth, that become very successful in their business, what they're doing, but it destroys their life. You know, there are people that, I'm thinking of an older actress. I really enjoy her. She's a good singer and all. But when you read her life story, I mean, her life was a mess. I mean, and it ended up in ruin and destruction. Yet, you know, she had a lot of success as an actress, but it wasn't good success. It was bad success, because obviously it was destroying her life. She wasn't in the will of God for her life. She wasn't in the plan of God. Some way or another, she was out of God's will, God's plan. God's plan is for us to have abundance, abundant life, peace, joy, happiness, goodness. All those things are part of his plan. So I wanted to bring this out of Joshua, because, you know, we kind of need a definition of what success is. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you people think if like I said, if you have the numbers, you know, in your church, or if you're in the financial realm or out working, you know, in the financial realm, you make a lot of money, then you're a success. That's not God's definition at all. God's definition is, once again, good success is prospering in God's will for your life. Bad success is prospering in something that's not God's will for your life. In 1981, God, actually I knew this a little before that, but I got born again in 1981 and answered the call to preach the gospel. Now, I could leave this. He's not going to make me do anything. I could leave this preaching and teaching of the gospel. God's called me to be a preacher, a teacher of redemption, what we have in Christ. And so, you know, as a pastor, I have to teach on more things than that, but that's where I flow the best, is when I'm teaching on our redemption and what we have in Christ, because that's what God, that's the anointing on my life. But, you know, as a pastor, you have to teach on some other things. People need to know some other things. But my point, what I was going to make, is this. I could leave this and go get in business and make millions of dollars, and I'm a failure, because that's not the will of God for my life. I'm having what's called bad success. I may be successful, but it's not good success. It's bad success, because it's not God's will. Now, I learned this. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please, because I learned this as a young believer, that there were, and I'm going to share a couple things with you. You could add more things to this, I'm sure. But there were a couple things that I learned, and if you learn these two things, I guarantee you, you're going to be a good success in the will of God for your life, whatever that might be. So go to Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry, Romans 12, verse 2. I learned two things that I was going to have to do if I was going to be a good success. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," notice this, "by the renewing of your mind." Woo, that's good. That's good. "By the renewing of your mind." Notice this, "that you may prove," notice this, "what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." See, that's success, when you are in the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. And that comes by renewing your mind. Your transformation, see, comes by renewing of your mind. The transformation from failure to success comes by renewing your mind. I learned this as a young Christian, that if I was going to be successful in God, in His calling on my life, I was going to have to keep my mind renewed. Now, listen to the way I say this. I talk about this, but I want to make sure everybody gets it. You don't just one day arrive and your mind is totally renewed and you don't have to do anything else. Now, here's the reason why. Because the world is constantly trying to conform us. It's trying to conform us into its mold. We can't do anything about living in this world. We live here. I mean, we're here. And so it's constantly trying to conform us. It's constantly trying to renew our mind. I learned this years ago that, you know, when you're out, you know, when you're out in the world and you're bumping, you know, shoulders with the world, you know, you have to work every day. You may not be working around believers all the time. I mean, there's stuff that you pick up, and you've got to wash it off with the Word. See, the Bible talks, which we may look at the Scripture, we'll see, about the washing of the water of the Word. You wash it off. You remember Jesus washing His disciples' feet, you know, and He said to Peter, He went to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, "Do you intend to wash my feet?" And he said, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Now, He wasn't just talking about natural washing here. There's a deeper meaning to this. If He was just talking about natural washing, you know, I mean, what's the matter whether He washes Peter's feet or not? He's talking about this. He's talking about Him being washed with the Word, see? Jesus said in John 15, He's later on in talking to these same disciples, He said, "Now you're clean through the Word I've spoken unto you." So what He was saying to Peter, when Peter said, "Lord, you never washed my feet," Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Peter said, "Not my feet, but my hands, my head. Hey, give me a bath." I mean, hey, do the whole thing. If that's the case, Jesus said, he that showered doesn't need to take a shower again, but just wash his feet. Now, you have to follow the custom of the day. In those days, they wore sandals. They walked on dusty, dirty streets. So they maybe had bathed that morning, but then they go walk someplace and their feet get dirty. And so they would come to somebody's house that was customary to wash your feet, you know. I mean, clean that part of your body. What Jesus was simply saying is saying, look, disciples, you're going to be out in this world. You're going to be around sinners. You're going to be around filth and trash and different things, and your feet are going to get dirty. You need them washed. And that washing, the Bible plainly lets us know, it's the Word of God. So we have to keep our mind constantly renewed, constantly filled with the Word of God. And that's where our transformation comes. That's where we get into the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Amen? That's where it's at. You know, it is like God's got three wills, the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. You know, there's just different levels to the will of God. You know, the word good here means the beneficial. The word acceptable means well-pleasing. And the word perfect actually means mature or the full will of God. So, you know, as we grow, we keep growing more and more into the will of God for our life. I mean, we take steps. We don't arrive overnight, but we're on our way, praise God, for God's plan for our life. Now, here's what I learned. I learned as a young believer, I had to keep my mind full of the Word of God, especially in those beginning days. Now, always, of course, but I remember in the beginning days, after I first gave my life to Jesus Christ, you know, I came out of a life of drugs and alcohol, and that was my lifestyle. That's what I did. That's just the way I lived. And so I can remember, and, you know, I lived for the weekends, you know, because the weekends I was off work. You know, I worked Monday through Friday. And just 9 hours a day at a job I had. And so the weekend came, then, you know, it was party time. And, of course, I would still, I would party sometimes during the week, but not as hard as I did on the weekends because I had to get up and go to work. But I remember after getting saved, I remember sitting in my room, in my study on Friday nights. Now, I'm just a few weeks old in the Lord. And I can remember my mind talking to me and saying, "You are crazy. It's Friday night. You are sitting here at home reading the Bible." Hey, I had to take control of that. I had to renew my mind. I had to keep it filled with the Word of God. I had to wash it off, all that filth that had been in there, wash it out. And thank God the Word will do that. Praise God. So you have to do that. Now, Ephesians, let's go there. I want to look at this, Ephesians chapter 5, because I want to show you something here. It's keeping your mind renewed, keeping your mind washed with the Word of God that will cause you to have good success. It's one of the main keys to having good success. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it." Now, this is how he cleansed the church, with the washing of water by the Word. Notice, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, you know, something, a garment gets a spot on it, something from the outside, or wrinkle. You know, that's inside the fabric, like sometimes there's divisions in the body of Christ, wrinkles in the body, or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. What is it talking about? Well, for the church to be successful, the church has to be washed with the Word of God. I feel so sorry for Christians that go Sunday after Sunday, go to service after service, and don't hear the Word of God. They're not being perfected. We are perfected by the Word. Some churches, this is a knock against them, but you can't help but observe things. Some churches, they're not preaching the Word. I mean, they're preaching social issues all the time. They're preaching be good, which, you know, I mean, be nice to people, be kind, and so forth, you know. And then there's nothing wrong with that. And they're preaching, you know, motivational messages and all. And, you know, the Word will motivate you. But listen, everything we do should be based on this book right here, the Word. Amen? I mean, we shouldn't be, you know, getting together and having another club like some of the other clubs in town. This should be the church of the living God. It should be different. There should be the Word of God coming forth from our pulpits through preaching and teaching. We should be in the Scriptures and learning the Scriptures. I actually heard this, man. My pastor told me one of his, I might have been a son in the faith or somebody that's a part of the Righteous Preachers Network. They told Dr. Barclay, they said, a couple left my church and they said the reason they're leaving is because I preach out of the Bible too much. Wow, what a crime. I preach out of the Bible too much. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm coming to church, that's what I want somebody to preach out of. I don't want them preaching out of the Reader's Digest, the New York Times, amen, the Wall Street Journal. I want them preaching out of the Word of God. I want some meat. I want something that feeds me. Man, you know what? When I go to a good restaurant and I get a good meal, I don't mind paying good money for it. But when I go to a restaurant and pay good money and I didn't get a good meal, I feel like I got robbed. Yeah, I don't want to go to church and feel like I got robbed. I want to go to church and get the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I just tell people, if that's not what you want, don't come here, because I'm going to continue to give you the Word of God. I'm going to continue preaching to you the Word of God. I'll give you milk. I'll give you meat. I'll make you happy. I'll make you mad. I might make you sad. I don't know. But it's all the Word of God. The Word of God will do all kinds of things, man. It'll adjust you. It'll straighten you up. It'll make you happy. It'll make you shout. It'll make you cry. It'll make you repent. Hallelujah. And we need all of that. Amen. Now, so key number one, I'm sharing two with you. Key number one is you got to keep your mind renewed. If you're going to be and have good success, like God told Joshua, defining good success is this: you're prospering in the will of God for your life. You're prospering in that. That's good success. Amen. It's not a matter of numbers. You know, there's pastors and churches that, you know, there's big churches. And God's in it. There's little churches and God's in them. If God's in it, you're prospering. You're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. You know, it's like my pastor, Dr. Barclay. He said one time he went and he preached on Sunday morning at a church, 22,000 members. 22,000 members. He said that night he went and preached somewhere else at a church that had 20 members. He said the pastor was driving me to the meeting, and all of a sudden he started crying. And I think he even had to pull over to the side of the road. And of course, Doc put his hand over and said, "What's wrong, man? What's wrong?" And he said to the pastor, he said, "I cannot believe you are coming to my church. You preached for 22,000 this morning, and you're coming out here in this like cornfield, and you're preaching to 20 people tonight." I love what Dr. Barclay said. He said, "Those 20 people you pastor deserve just as much preaching as the 22,000 I preached to this morning. They deserve a good pastor just as well as the 22,000. Now, if this guy is in the will of God and he's pastoring 20 people and that's all he ever pastors, I know most of the church looks at him and says, 'You're a failure.' But I got news for you. If that's where God put him, that's what God called him to do, I'm telling you, when he gets to heaven, he's going to hear, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant,' while the guy pastoring 22,000 may be out of the will of God and not get any kind of reward at all." We can't judge it by the world's standards. We got to judge it by God's standards. I mean, if you judge it by the world's standards, by the time Jesus' ministry was done, everybody left him. Man, he was preaching one day, and they all left. John chapter 6, except his 12 disciples. He looked at them and said, "Will you go also?" And they said, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." At the cross, about everybody forsook him. You know, his mother came, stuck around. John stuck around. But, I mean, you know, remember Peter, he booked. You remember the Bible even talked about, "I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." So, you know, if you go by that, then Jesus was a failure. But, I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. Jesus was a great success. Hallelujah. So you can't judge it by that. You got to judge it by the will of God, the plan of God. Now, the other thing that I learned, the other key, if I was going to be successful, if I was going to, you know, stay serving God and be successful in what God called me to do, I learned this. I had to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, we're there. Go to verse 18. Number one, remember, we have to keep your mind renewed with the Word of God. That's constant feedings on the Word to keep your mind renewed, so that you don't start thinking like the world, but you think like God thinks. You view things through the prism of the Word of God. Now, the second one, like I said, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or stay full of the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, where we're at, verse 18, says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Now, that's what the King James says, excess. The New King James says dissipation. Wherein is dissipation. Now, it's interesting. I found this out. The word dissipation means this: the process of slowly disappearing or becoming less. That's not success. That's failure. I found out that the word actually means to be wasted or to waste. So I'm thinking about, okay, before I got saved, you know, if we wanted to go do drugs or get drunk, we'd say, "Let's go get wasted." We were actually right about what we were saying. We were wasting our life. And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And he uses wine here, talking about wine or alcohol. You know, alcohol doesn't bring any good things in your life. I mean, you do what you want to with that. But listen, I had a problem with alcohol. I got saved. I'm not going back there. You do what you want. No condemnation here, but I'm just telling you, man, you mess with this, you mess with alcohol, and it'll bite you one day, and you'll be in trouble. And I can tell you some stories, but we don't have time about that. It's pastoring, things that I've ran into with people that thought they'd be okay, you know, just a little sip here and a little sip there, and end up getting bit and getting in trouble. Now, so I haven't had an alcoholic drink since I got born again. I'm not going to have one, because that's what I got delivered from. All right, but there's a lot of things that you could fill your life with. So I'm not just picking on alcohol. There's a lot of things you could fill your life with that'll bring you to ruin. Amen. But he talks about, you know, be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this, be filled with the Spirit, and you've heard this probably before, it actually means be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant being filled with the Spirit. And he tells us one way to do that. He says in verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I learned to stay full of the Spirit. I would have to do it through my prayer life and through my worship life and through my praise life and through being thankful and having a cheerful, right attitude. I don't always do that. I've had some problems as of late. I need to work on it. Confession is good for the soul. But nevertheless, the way we stay full of the Spirit is through our prayer life and through our worship life, through our praise life, through being thankful. And Paul said, you know, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Now, I don't have time to break it down, talk about what those are. But just know this, if you're praying, if you're worshiping God and all, you're being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's being involved in that. How many know you can tell when someone's drunk on wine? I mean, there's signs. There's signs, you know. Well, you know, I mean, obviously they don't act normal. They don't act like they normally do. They act different. They act funny. Sometimes they get real funny, hilarious, whatever. They just act goofy. I'll tell you something else. You can tell when someone's full of the Spirit. Let me give you three real powerful ways you can tell somebody's full of the Spirit. One sign is they have joy in their life. Amen. Now, one of the things I'm seeing in church as of late, you know, the last several years, is there's not the joy there used to be. I mean, we used to come together. We was full of joy. The disciples were full of joy. We need to get full of the Spirit again. Number two, generosity. Generosity. When you get full of the Spirit, you become a generous person. I mean, think about it. You know, there's a lot of people, when they get drunk, they become real generous and loose with their money. I kind of was that way. You know, So if you're full of the Spirit, you're going to have joy. You're going to have generosity. Number three, you're going to have power. See what Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Now, we got just a few minutes here. Let's go to the book of Acts, because I want to show you something that this isn't just a one-time thing. This is being filled. Go to Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few verses in Acts, and then I want to close by going to Jeremiah. Just give me just a few minutes here, and we'll be done. And get you on your way with your evening. But we so much need to understand that the time we're living in, we need, and I preached a message on this a few weeks ago, on extra oil. It's going to take extra oil in the day we're living in. Why? Because there's extra attacks. There's more warfare out there than there used to be. I mean, there's just more things going on in the natural that are bad and negative. And we need to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 4. This is the disciples that have already been, you know, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says this about them in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So here we go. They were filled again with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, the psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Sometimes we just need some fresh oil. Listen to this. This is Acts chapter 6, if you want to go there. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason, it's not right, it's not desirable, it's not proper, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Talking about the apostles. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full, notice this, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And it lists the rest of them they chose. But I want you to see this. It talked about they choose men that are full of the Holy Ghost, and Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, it just makes sense. If you can be full of the Holy Ghost, you can be less than full of the Holy Ghost, just like your gas tank. I looked at mine on the way here. It said full. But I've looked at it before. It said, you know, the light was on, you know, dinging at me. It needed refuel. Well, sometimes, our lives are that way. We need to be constantly renewing the Holy Spirit in our life, His presence, by fellowshipping with God in prayer and worship, praise. Acts, look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, go there. Acts 11, Verse 24 says this, talking about Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Notice that. He was full. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 52, Acts 13. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, these are disciples that have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they got another infilling of the Spirit. You need to stay. Those are two powerful keys. You need to keep your mind renewed. You need to stay full of the Spirit. Amen. Continually be being filled if you're going to be successful. Let's close. I said I wanted to go to Jeremiah. This is our final scripture tonight. I hope you got something out of this. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 12. Jeremiah 2:12. It says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Now this says, and be horribly afraid. What's so bad? What's so bad to be astonished at and to be horribly afraid? And it says, be very desolate, saith the Lord. Why? Here's the reason why. Verse 13. For my people, we're his people, right? Have committed two evils. All right, here's the two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. How many know a fountain flows, man? It's flowing. And they've hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What is God saying? They've substituted other things for my presence. They've substituted other things for me. And what they have done is they've dug cisterns that can hold no water. I don't know if you've ever drank cistern water. I have. My grandparents, on my father's, his parents, they lived in a house that, you know, there wasn't any city water to it. And, you know, you could, you know, some of you are so young, you don't know that. But there were places, I mean, I grew up in a place, we didn't have, like, city water. We had well water. We had a pump in the basement, a tank in the basement. That pump ran and pumped water into the house out of the well down in the ground, okay? It wasn't until years later before they ever got a water line of city water up to our house. It was out in the country. And my grandparents lived in this place, and there wasn't any city water, and they didn't have a well. So what you would do is you'd dig a hole in the ground, and you'd put this concrete vault, I called it, in the ground, and it was called a cistern. And what you would do was, you know, you would, of course, hook it up to the house, run the pipes to the house, out to the cistern, and you would have a water company, come, and they would fill that thing with water. They'd fill it with water. And, you know, when it got empty, then you'd have them come back out and fill it again. But I can tell you that water did not taste good. It was stale. I mean, it's been in that hole in the ground, that concrete vault, you know, maybe for months. And it just didn't taste. You could tell it, man. It had a funny taste to it. And listen, I'm telling you what. When the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. The things of life, they don't satisfy. But I'll tell you what, when you spend time in prayer, worship, and praise with the Father, you come out of there. You know you've been drinking of living, flowing water. Phyllis always tells me, see, we buy bottled water, are used to a lot, and now she's got a thing that filters it. But I think she's still buying bottled water, but she always wants what's called natural spring water. She doesn't want purified water. You know, that natural spring and flowing. It's supposed to be good, better tasting and so forth and all. Well, listen, God said there's a terrible thing going on with my people. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've substituted something else for my presence. That's happened all over the church, all over the body of Christ. And where has it gotten us? Not good success, but failure. I don't know about you, but I want to have good success. Let me give you these two things again. You're going to have good success. Number one, you need to keep your mind renewed. Keep feeding the Word into it. Keep it renewed. Keep a flow of the Word, a washing of the Word. Number two, you need to stay full of the Spirit of God. Father, thank you for your Word today. thank you tonight that you want us to have good success. Good success. And so I thank you for giving us these keys to show us how to have good success in you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.